For me to live is Christ. For me to die is gain. Every moment in between, there'll be joy and there'll be pain. I can't worry about the future or change a thing about my past. I've got this moment to believe, and I'm gonna make it last. I am filled to be emptied.
This is Pastor Michael Rogers from The Jar at 702 H Street Northeast in Ardmore, Oklahoma. Thank you for listening to our broadcast today. We are always excited when Pastor Carrie Nall comes and shares her message. Anytime that you talk about The Jar, let them know that we have a blessed children's ministry because of what she does. But she also has the ability to deliver God's word in such a powerful way. And so we are going to pray for her and pray for us as we listen to her message. And just know that the important thing is who we're talking about, not who's talking. Father, in the midst of this time, when we come to you and we are asking you to speak from your word, we know that it is your great pleasure to do so. And it doesn't matter whether the person standing up here is 5 or 95, whether this person is got a title or doesn't have a title. It's your word that goes forward and is promised not to return void. So we pray for that, God, that you would speak today. Father, calm Pastor Carrie's nerves. Help her to be ready. Father, she has done the preparation. She has studied and shown herself approved. And so we just can't wait to hear what you have to say through her. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. I'm excited about this passage that Michael laid out, our order that we're doing. We're in the book of Exodus. And Exodus is actually broken down into two parts. Chapters 1 through 18 is about the deliverance, and chapters 19 through 40 is about the covenant. So two different parts. We're still in the very first part of deliverance. But throughout the entire book of Exodus, God's presence is 100% clear. He is constantly involved in every step. Michael and Carrie have presented us the first two chapters over the past few weeks. The first was about God's plan and how it was carried out to protect Moses from the very beginning. Ultimately discussing, will we carry out God's plan despite the risk? And then the second week, am I expecting God to move real in my life? And you know, Moses wasn't doing it himself. He had to trust 100% on God. Well, as we go into chapter 3 this week, we will not look at anything else but a pure miracle. And I want you to keep a question in your frontal lobe. That's that part right here in your brain. It's a little science thing. Am I learning how I am uniquely shaped? Am I learning how I am uniquely shaped? Now, as a child growing up, our family would often travel to West Texas to visit my mother's family. And I would sit and look out the window and watch the terrain of Oklahoma and northern Texas eventually change. And you'd start seeing flat and rock and dirt and bushes, mesquite bushes. And oftentimes, I would think of the burning bush. As a child, you know, we hear this story, okay? So it's a miracle. God is got this fire in this bush, but it never consumes the bush. Wow, it's so cool. And, you know, I teach children this story. And I teach them about the bush and say, it's a pure miracle. You know, the bush doesn't burn up. And it's just, wow, it's a miracle. We should be really awe and excited about what God shows us. And be ready because God will show up anywhere. He showed up in a bush for Moses. Well, as I got older and I started studying God's word a little bit more in depth, I realize now that there is so much more to that passage. And so my children's lessons will change a little bit more for that. Put it on their level, but they do need to know that God can show up, but he's got a plan when he does. Now, as we enter into chapter 3, we need to remember a few things. And those few things are about the Israelites. They are God's people, but they had no earthly leader. But they were also a people of hope. They had hope. They just didn't have anybody to help them make that hope stronger. But God hears their cries, and he shapes and uniquely designs a man called Moses. Now one day, good old Moses was out tending to the flock of his father-in-law, and he was doing his job, and all of a sudden the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flames of a burning bush. And that's in verse 2 of chapter 3. Now this got Moses' attention, and immediately he says this in verse 3, that the bush was on fire but wasn't burning. And he approaches the bush, and of course the question of how probably arose, just like we would probably do the same thing. How is this happening? Then something else happens. Moses hears his name being called. And instead of running away from this mysterious, hello, Moses, okay, he stops and he says, here I am. Verse 4, here I am. Now, I feel that Moses knew on some deep level, he knew this had to be God, okay, or he was kind of losing it, but he knew it was God. But instead of running away, when his name was called, he did something that we must do when we hear God call our name. And he says, here I am. He opens his ears up and he's ready to listen. Now God stops Moses from coming any closer at this time, and he tells him to completely remove his shoes. Verse 6. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And at this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Now I can imagine those words coming out from the bush through the angel, from God through the angel, through the bush to Moses. It's one of those things. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And this gets Moses' attention. It would get my attention. These are such strong, powerful words. And in that amazing reverence, Moses displays by hiding his face, and he just thinks, I can't look at God. I've often heard pastors say, you know, we are not going to be able to look at God because it's just going to be so magnificent. But I kind of think differently. I think once we get to heaven, we're going to look at him. We're just going to be going, man, this is awesome.
That's right.
And it's forever. But at that time, Moses just hid his face. But he knew that it was the voice of God. Continuing to listen, Moses hears God's words telling him that he has heard the cry of the Israelites. I've heard them. I know they're being suppressed by Pharaoh. And he knows it's time to free them from a stronghold. Now, I use the word stronghold because thinking about this, the Israelites were large in number, were they not? They were large in number. They could have hightailed it out of there at any time and said, see you, Pharaoh, we're many, we'll fight you, we're gone. But they couldn't. They were so comfortable with being provided for, but yet they were being suppressed that they couldn't be God's people. I want out of this, but God, you're not showing me a way. We need somebody to help us. They're back and forth, and it's that stronghold holding them there. But now it's time for things to change. And God is letting Moses know that he is fully aware of this, and it's time, and it's his time, not Moses's. This was done in God's time. Now it's time. He's going to help them, through Moses, because Moses is that vessel. Now, as this part unfolds, we read that Moses continues to ask a few more questions. He is full of questions. You're going to find out about this in this whole chapter. It's like a three-year-old after eating a lot of sugar. But why? But why? Okay? Moses continues to ask a question in verse 13. Oh, listen to this. Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you.' And they ask me, 'Well, what is his name?' Then what shall I say to them?" Well, God answers. And he's going to ask a lot of questions, like I said, but this was a very important one to him. He says, "What do I tell them the name of the God of the fathers is?" Because in this period of time, a name told somebody everything about them. That was your character. Looking up my name on the German side means free. Okay? Michael, I looked up your name, and it's a gift from God. You live up to that one. Live up to it. So the names we are given tells us our character. And Moses was thinking more on that social level, not the earthly. I mean, the earthly level, but not the heavenly realm, okay? He was thinking, I've got to have a good quality, you know, strong name here to say this is who's telling me to do something. Well, there's no name more powerful than God. And God answers him this simply. I am who I am. I am. You don't need to know anything else, but I am. And God continues to give Moses the script, word for word, in verses 15 through 22. Word for word. He spells it completely out to him. He tells Moses, you go to the Israelites, you get the elders together. You do this, you spell it out, word for word for word for word for word. Okay? This couldn't be more clear unless he had written it on tablets and handed it to him. That happens in chapter 20, so stay tuned for that one, okay? That's going to be clearly stated in chapter 20. However, Moses, even though hearing exactly what to say, coming straight from God, chapter 4, verse 1, he says, but what if they do not believe me or listen to me? Moses was still doubting what God could do. And God replies, well, I'm going to tell you this. Grab your staff there, old Moses. Throw it down on the ground. And when he threw it down on the ground, it became a snake. And he said, now go pick it back up. Put your hand in your pocket. Pull it back out. It's leprosy. Put your hand back in your pocket. It's all clear. He's showing him. You go show the Israelites this, that this is only what God could do, and they're going to believe you. Okay? And if they don't believe you, go to the Nile, get some water, pour it out of the ground. It'll turn to blood. They're going to have a very profound attention towards you and say, well, okay, this guy is from God. So maybe we do need to listen to him. This is giving everything that he needed. God was spelling it out, giving everything to Moses, laying it out there 100%. And good old Moses tries again in verse 10 of chapter 4. And he says, pardon me, Lord. I'm sorry, your servant here, but really, can't you just send someone else? Can't you just do it? And then verse 11, he says, this is what God says back to him. This is so cool. God says this, who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. He says, I've given you your mouth. I've given you your ears. I've given you the ability to speak. Now go and do what I'm telling you to do. Just go. Now you would think at this point Moses would say, okay, I think I got it. I'm good. God's got me. He's going to tell me exactly what to say. And in verse 13, pardon your servant, Lord. Can you just send someone else, please? Can't you just send someone else? I don't really want to do this, is kind of what he was saying. for the first time in our Bible words, verse 14, chapter 4. Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses. This is the first time we hear about God's anger. His anger burned. He says, what about your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know he can speak well, and he's already on his way to meet you, and he'll be glad to see you. God always had an answer. He always has an answer for us too, by the way. We can say, well, what about, I don't have this. Well, guess what? Yeah, you do. That happened to somebody this morning as I was talking to them. Okay? God has it all laid out. He uniquely shapes everything in our life, step by step, on a daily basis. Because he has a plan for us. And every day he shapes. He maneuvers something here and he maneuvers something here. He keeps us from doing something sometimes. You ever made a wrong turn going somewhere? And you go, man, I made a turn back there. And this actually happened to us. We ended up turning around, going back, and there was a wreck right there. God kept us from being in that wreck. He uniquely shapes everything, not necessarily a wreck, but just who you meet, who you encounter on a daily basis. You might not know why you met someone maybe weeks down the road. You might not know why something's happening to you at that moment, but it may be months or years down the road. That would be a whole other sermon. I can testify to that. And I know probably each and every one of you in here can testify to that. God started from the very beginning with Moses. Moses tried 5 times to get out of this calling. 5 times. And that is no wonder why God got so angry. God had protected Moses from the very beginning of his life, placing him in that basket and ultimately with his mother, giving him protection as he grew up and guiding him through his adulthood, even after running to Midian. And all the while, protecting him and truly knowing who God was, Moses still questioned God. And God had already called him to help his people. He knew what he was doing from the day of conception. This is what this man's going to do. And he already knew that Moses was going to ask 5 different times, can you not think of somebody better? God used every step of Moses' life to uniquely shape him for this very moment. The moment to help free the Israelites from Pharaoh. Now, we're not quite there yet for it to happen. You're going to be learning about this over the next few weeks and how more uniquely shaped everything is. And all of this took place due to a miracle of a burning bush. Moses' life was changed despite arguing 5 times with God. He wasn't capable of doing everything, but God equipped him. God gave him everything. Moses didn't ask, and then God said, hey, let me think about that, and I'll get back to you. He immediately had an answer for him. Now, how can we learn from this Old Testament story and bring it to our time with Jesus? In seminary, this is called bridging the gap from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Let's think about the old and how can we apply it to today. But how can we apply it to us? Well, first, in the Gospel of John, there are 7 I ams that Jesus says. I am the bread, the light, the door, the good shepherd, the resurrection and life, the way, the truth, and the life. And the vine. 7. We know that is such a significant number. 7 I ams. Simply, I am. That's all he has to say. The only way the Israelites were to be free was through Moses' earthly actions. by shaping Moses and the true original I am. And Jesus tells us that he, the I am, is the only way through God to get to heaven. Moses delivered the Israelites from Pharaoh, God's people. We go through Jesus to God to get to heaven. You see how there's some parallelism here. As believers, we are to guide people and to help them through their strongholds that Satan has them on. We share our stories of Jesus with them. We share the I am with them. We give them hope. I'm sure that each and every one of you probably know somebody who has no hope. And we can give them hope by saying, man, I know somebody who's got it all. And they may say, but I got the dope, doesn't matter. Additionally, there are many times we often pray for direction from God. Maybe ask, God, what do you want from me? What do you want me to do? He helps us through these circumstances. He helps us in our ups, our downs, our all-arounds. He helps us when we cry out in pain because of what life has thrown at us. He helps us when we have heartaches. He either sends someone to give us comfort or he just clearly just shows up and gives us comfort. Maybe in the smallest of ways. He proves himself over and over. Then when God answers our question, God, what do you want me to do? Do we question it with me? You want me to do this? Or even, yes, but just like Moses, he had doubts of his own abilities that God was clearly equipping him with. And in Hebrew chapter 13, bringing this to the New Testament, Hebrew chapter 13, verses 20 through 21. This is generally a benediction, a final greeting, but listen to these words. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Yes. That final word, amen. No matter what God calls us to do, instead of saying, who me, or yes, but, we need to realize he's already equipped us. We might not realize it 100% yet, and say, here I am, Lord, and yes, period. Yes, period. Moses was told to go and do, to get the people free from Pharaoh, and God equipped him with everything, word for word, like I said. He got a little angry at him, but ultimately Moses did what God called him to do. Again, you're going to hear about this in the coming weeks. It's pretty awesome too. Now I asked at the beginning of the message here for you to remember one question. Am I learning how I am uniquely shaped? Are you realizing how God is leading your life to do exactly what he's called you to do? Are you stubborn like Moses? Maybe that's out of possible fear, or maybe just a lack of a little faith. We all have. I've gone through this. When God was calling me to be a children's pastor, I sat on the floor with four-year-olds and rocked back and forth telling the story of Nehemiah, but I can't do this. And it was like God did the Donoso slap and said, yes, you can. And I soon realized I could. and everything just fell into place, and it was just like second nature. Not saying I'm the best, trust me, I'm not. But I so enjoy it. I so enjoy it. But maybe we have that fear. But God is with us every step of the way. Every step. And like I said before, earlier, he already knew it from the day one of our taking a breath into this world. He knew exactly what was going on and what was going to happen in our life. He knew that we would all be sitting here one evening. Okay? He knows that maybe someone in this room is thinking, man, I know there's something. I know. Okay, God, I hear you calling me to do this. I just don't know if I can. Are you sure it's the right time? That's probably that wonderful response of, I wouldn't have called you if it wasn't the right time. Think about that. He wouldn't have called you if it wasn't the right time. Being uniquely shaped can sometimes hurt too. We have to give up things. We have to change our friends, maybe. We have to change our habits. Be prepared for those little pains. We're being shaped every day. And we're learning every day something new. Going to it with fresh, wide eyes. Are we filing away each time we see God show up and prove exactly who he is? The God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who created all of us, Yahweh, the great I am. Are we really understanding that he shapes us, he equips us for his calling? Now, Satan loves, he loves to make us feel that we're not worthy. That's his number one job, by the way, to make us feel like we're not good enough. We don't have to carry a staff like Moses and throw it on the ground and then pick it back up. We don't have to put our hand in our pocket. We don't have to pour water out. We don't have to do any of that. We just have to have faith. We have to have faith. And God will give us and equip us everything we need and shape us in our own unique way. Eyes wide open. Go ahead, brother. Lead the way.
All right. Normally, whenever we are meeting together, this is a time when we call conversation, and we'll have questions that we have you gather around and just answer questions, because our intention is to take what you just learned and be able to apply it in your life, to do something with it. I think we miss that sometimes in the church. You get a really good word, you hear, man, I need something about that, and there's no time to reflect, and there's no time to really say, this is how I'm going to work it. Okay, but today, and often we do this, we want to give an opportunity for you to ask questions. If you have any questions about what you just learned or how it might apply to you personally, we want to give you that opportunity to ask questions of Pastor Carrie, and I'll stand here and help as I can. But this is really her message. So if you have a question, it's God's message, I know. If you have a question that you would like to ask about what you just learned, and raise your hand and we'll try to answer it. Yes, Joy.
Something that really stuck out to me.
Yes.
Well, okay, in chapter 4, verse 14, God had already talked to his brother Aaron, and he was already on his way.
I love it too, because it's the first time I noticed, as you were talking, that Aaron was a slave. Aaron didn't get released with Moses.
Right.
So that means Aaron must have escaped. and was on his way because he knew where Moses was. I never put that together before.
That is a unique shaping of events, not to put pun words out there on it. But it is. And like Joy said, you know, God already knew it.
Yeah.
He'd already fixed it to where Aaron could get there.
Yeah.
And everything. Yes, ma'am.
I find something interesting that when God spoke to Moses, and Moses' reply was, "Here I am."
Yes.
And I think it kind of goes to show that we're constantly pursued by God the Father, too. And that we don't even know, like, he didn't know he was I am.
Right.
But he knew.
That's right.
You know, because...
Yes, yeah. Moses says, "Here I am. Yeah, I'm ready." And he's, "Oh, no.
And then God says, "Well, I'm the great I am.
I am." And then he throws it right back at him. I am. You are, but I am. And that's what he was saying. But
thank you, Debbie, for pointing that out to us.
To add on to that is, don't you know that we are God's?
Yeah.
And so that just kind of shows that he was responding to God as he knew him, but remembering. And I think the word remember is, you know, we become a member of the body of Christ, and we remember who we really are.
Yes, we truly believe in the priesthood of all believers here, that God works through all of us and gives words to all of us, that we are all called to be disciple makers, that it's not something that's just for the people who are standing up here. Later in the scripture, you can read that God says, "I'm going to make you like me to Pharaoh, and Aaron will be your prophet." And so he's setting him up to let him know. That's really good. Thank you, Debbie. I appreciate you sharing that word. I have learned, as we've been going through this Old Testament, the difference between my efforts and who's actually accomplishing something. Like, he wants us to be doing something, but he's the one who's going to affect the change. He's the one that's going to bring redemption. He's the one that's going to do the things. But it is his good pleasure to share with us that responsibility. And so for us, it's that opportunity that we get to be a part of it. Some of you may have been raised in the church to think you have to be a part of it for God to love you. That is not the case. Because God loves you, you get to be a part of it. And that's a different mindset. Because God loves me, I get to be a part of helping shape this person for the calling that they have on their life.
Can I say something?
Yes, absolutely. Please do.
Okay, perfect. So wrapping all that up and saying that, I think one of the key verses for us to remember is definitely verse 12 of 3. Mm-hmm. God answered him, "I will be with you."
Yes.
Right? So when we're called to do those things, right? I heard one pastor say one time, Moses was the very first missionary. Right? Because he was going into the Egyptian camp where they served over 1,000 gods. And so God doesn't only say to Moses, "I will be with you," in verse 12, but he also says, "Here are the signs that are going to prove to these Egyptian people, right, that I am the one true God."
Yes.
"Above any of the false gods that you worship." You know, and Moses was scared. I think he was scared first because he didn't think he was worthy. But then also, I can imagine going into a land where they worshiped 1,000 gods. They had a little mini god for everything. I don't even know how they kept track. I don't even know how they kept track of who they were supposed to pray to.
That's what the priests were for.
You know, and the other thing is, the priests would do tricks.
Yeah.
Yes. They would do tricks, smoke screens, and magician tricks to prove that their mini gods were real. And so we're going to find out later when he talks about the staff and turning the staff into a snake and all of those things. The signs that he gives them are things that those false priests can't produce. So that whole phrase of "I am with you" is that one sentence that God starts out with is packed full, because he knows that conversation is coming with Moses, and Moses is asking 5 times. The other thing I wanted to bring out too, when you talked about God being angry, just want to touch base on that word angry there too, because some people may think, well, God is good, how can he be angry, right? I want you to remember, some of us were raised to believe, I know I was one, that anger was a sin. Okay? It's not the feeling of anger. It's what you do with that anger that matters. That's when it becomes a sin. And so God is impatient, right? Anger is always an emotion, something, another emotion. God becomes impatient with Moses like we would our kids when we've told him five times, right? But what does God do there? God doesn't punish him. He doesn't, you know, say, fine, yes, I'm done with you. No, he still says, I am with you, verse 12, and I am giving you the tools you need, and you're going to do it, including Aaron, who I already knew you were going to ask about.
Yes, that's right.
So I just wanted to bring up those two things.
Yeah, and so if you need a scriptural reference for that, Paul says, in your anger, do not sin. Mm-hmm. He doesn't say you shouldn't be angry because it's a sin. He says, in your anger, do not sin. So when we feel an anger, whether it's a righteous anger or any other kind of anger, our first step is to pull back and remember. I've taught this before. Wait, pray, and then act under God's authority. Yes?
I'm just wondering, I wrote it on the prayer request. I got something in my heart that I feel like, I'm not sure if it's from God or it's just something that I would like to do to give back. But I'm wondering, you know, with that song, you know, Take the Next Step, I'm wondering, you know, do we have to know for sure that it's from God to take a step?
That's a great really question. Good question.
No, you take
that one. She's like,
that's
take,
why he's
you
got
take that
senior
one.
Pastor by his name.
Okay.
No.
All right, so
no,
listen.
Go right ahead.
I have to give my father-in-law kudos for this. This is something that he taught us a long time ago. He said, we are so concerned about doing the wrong thing that we will ask God if something is his will, that actually it doesn't matter what you decide, it's already under the umbrella of God's will. And so in other words, God, should I take this job or this job? And God's like, pick a job and just glorify me when you're in it. I am not looking and saying, if you pick this job, you're wrong, and if you pick this job, you're right, and I'm going to judge you for getting it right. Well, in light of that, if there is something that God, that is on your heart that would serve God, it's never going to be outside of his will to approach it. It may be that he teaches you later that this is not something you're called to, but you are called to bring attention to it. Or it may be that as you explore it, you're finding out that he's been preparing you for that for a long time. Okay? So we walk into it and we say, like it says in the song, let's just do the next right thing. Let's take the next step and see what happens. And if God wants to bless it, then he will. And if he does, then it shows me that I'm the one that's supposed to do that. But he's correcting me as I'm talking. There is an enemy who does not want to see God's will come about in people's lives. And so we can't take comfortable as a viable measurement of whether it's God's will. So if you go to try to do something and you encounter hardship and obstacle, that doesn't mean it's not God's will. It may mean that it's exactly God's will and the enemy is trying to keep you from it. So I would say, regardless of the outcome, if you are following in Christ's footsteps and you are doing something he would have you do, it wouldn't be on your heart if it wasn't something he was calling you to. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I feel like I've landed there as I've been talking. If it's in God's will and you're thinking it, it's on your heart for a reason.
He'll close the door if it's not.
He'll close the door if it's not. But the door closing won't be that it's hard. The door closing will be you absolutely can't do it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right.
See, I knew you could answer that one.
Thank you.
I have confidence.
For the confidence, yeah. All right, anything else? Great questions. Yes, Pastor Steve.
Not so much a question as a comment.
Yes, sir. Yes.
There are ways. New Testament, there's a scripture that says, test the spirits.
Yes.
To see whether or not they are of God.
Yes.
There's ways to test if you think you're hearing from God, or you need to hear him, and you're deciding on something. There's actually ways to test.
Yes. So what Pastor Steve was saying is there it does say in the New Testament, test the spirits. And so there are ways to test the spirits. But one of the ways you do so is by seeing, is this something that God would condone? Is this something God would approve? So as you're learning, is this something God would approve? So for instance, if you have a wife, God's not going to give you a desire to have a girlfriend. You may feel like that person was sent to you by God, but that's not, if he did, that's not why he sent that person. Does that make sense? So you test and approve the spirits through the scripture and through good conversation with people that love God and love you and help you to figure that out. And you talk to him, you pray to him. And remember that conversation goes two ways. So you can't just speak. You must also give time to hear from God whenever you're praying, okay? My mama used to say, you got two ears and one mouth, so use them proportionately. You gotta listen as much as you speak or more.
I use it in my classroom.
Yeah. Does it work? Yeah, not in my classroom either. Okay, Ms. Joy.
One thing also is when we go through life experiences that are hard for us, it's been my experience that more often than not, it's for someone's benefit later on down the road that I'm going to be helping.
Yeah.
To help guide them, teach them, steer them in the right path.
Yeah.
Just because we face hardship doesn't mean that it's of the devil. It might be God trying to teach us something on how to do something or how to be able to relate to somebody that's going to be going through something that you went through.
Right. Now, it sounds like what we're doing is coming up with a bunch of caveats, but what we're actually saying, what we're doing is refining the answer as we're doing, and that's what the church is supposed to be doing. We are learning from each other instead of having somebody up here who has all the answers and hoping that they can say, pontificate from on high what it means to follow Jesus. And so what Joy is saying is very true. One of my favorite passages is 2 Corinthians 1. Praise be the God of all comfort who comforts us in all of our affliction so that, I love that phrase, so that we might comfort others who are experiencing the same affliction. And there are times when that is the case. I have also learned personally that you really go to a whole new level when your heart is broken. You really go to a whole new level when your heart is broken. And that often those moments of broken hearts, first of all, the fact that your heart was broken doesn't mean God left you. He was with you the whole time and his heart is breaking right with you. But because of that, he can redeem that broken heart in a way that he can't if you're just successful all the time. And if you're successful all the time, you've heard me say this before, you become a turtle on a post and you think you got there all by yourself. Right? Anything to add?
No? I could add a lot, but we'd be here another hour.
Yeah, I know. We believe that this is what the jar is about. We bring the teaching so that we can churn the waters so that we can learn about God together. And that's the jar.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Jar with Pastors Michael and Carrie Rogers. If you're a believer in Christ looking for an opportunity to learn how to be a disciple maker, come see us at 702 H Street Northeast in Ardmore, Oklahoma. Our regular gatherings start on Sundays at 4 p.m., so you can still make it to see us today. Hope to see you soon.
I am fed.